Okay, so this show is a recording of the Moe panel done by Nadia, I'm not giving her last name, at Anime Boston 2007. The first 5 minutes of audio are really bad, but I promise you it gets good because she picked up the mic, and then the recording improves. Although if you're listening to it on a car stereo and it's really noisy, you might not be able to hear it. Anyway, but we do have some Ninja Consultant news. Yeah, we're doing a talk as part of the Metro Anime Society's MOCA, that's the Museum of Comic and Cartoon Art, Mondays. And I know it's kind of last minute notice since I'm posting it essentially on Saturday morning and the panel is Monday night. But maybe if you're listening to this on Monday, you could show up if you live in New York City. Our panel is going to be on anime that's really, really super popular in Japan and not imported here. So we're going to cover Sazae-san, Doraemon, Anpanmon, and Star of the Giants, and just talk a little bit about each one and show some clips and show some scans of manga and stuff. So if you're interested in that, you want to show up at 6:30 at MOCA, which is in Soho. It is 594 Broadway, Suite 401 on the fourth floor between Houston.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God, I made a new mistake. Between Houston and Prince Street. So you can take the 6 to Bleecker Spring or the NR to Prince Street or the F, V, and S. I don't even think the S runs anymore. You know, it's Broadway Lafayette Street stop. Our lecture is not listed on the MOCA website at this time, but for directions to the place, you can go to moccany.org and find out about it.
We promise we'll be there.
And if you live in the tri-state area, you might want to go to MOCA on this Saturday the 23rd and 24th, because it's the MOCA Festival, where independent comic book artists come and hawk their wares, and it's like a who's who in animation and the kind of comic scene in New York City. And
indie.
Indie scene. Also, it is a great place to buy awesome hipster t-shirts, because the people who make comics are also make silk screens, and they make their own small print runs of shirts and posters and things. I always end up spending way too much money there. Plus, a lot of my friends and former coworkers and people who I went to school with exhibit stuff and sell stuff. And a good time is had by all. And across the street is Puck Fair, where you can get a really good English breakfast. But it kind of turns into a dance club at night. Do you have anything else to say?
Yeah, you didn't tell them the time.
6:30. 6:30 Monday night. I don't know when MOCA Fest times are. It's all day.
Well, right.
You have to check. Supposedly our lecture starts at 6:30, but I don't know if Noah's going to be able to make it that early, so maybe I'll
try.
I'll amuse people with Doraemon clips until Noah shows up or something.
Hooray.
All right. So hopefully our 3 listeners who live in the city will see you there.
Awesome.
Tell me about Moe.
The question is, you may find yourself asking, is what is MOE? And maybe you think you know, but you don't. I know what MOE is. That's why I'm up here. Who do you want? Actually, you might know what MOE is. What is MOE? Where did it come from? Where did it come from? What does it mean? Well, MOE is a term that is used among Japanese fans to express a feeling of strong affection for a character, or sometimes not even a character, maybe a cat, maybe you would feel moe towards a diamond ring, or, you know, something that you see that is very beautiful and causes this sort of pure, wonderful emotional sensation that erupts inside of you. And a lot of people think, especially in the Japanese media, people get kind of confused about this. They think it's microphone. Oh! Okay, yeah. Thank you. Thank you for the suggestion. Yeah, so a lot of people confuse it with, like, Lolita complex.
Yeah! And for some people, it might be Lolita complex. But it's not exactly the same thing. You can feel moe towards really anything. And one of the key aspects of moe is that while it can have erotic undercurrents or like overt suggestions, like smacking you in the face, it's really not supposed to involve sexual contact of any kind. There's, you know, your gods, your moe up here on this pedestal, and you, lowly, humble being that you are down here. Or down there. So where did the word come from? There's some theories. If you go on Wikipedia, the American English version of it, they say that it came from Sailor Moon. And if you look at the Japanese Wikipedia, which I kind of trust in the source because you've got all the people who are actually using the internet, which is where this word comes from, debating its origin. So they list all the theories in the Japanese version. And one of them is Sailor Moon. They're like, probably not, because the term was used before Sailor Moon actually was airing. People thought that it came from Tomoe, who was one of the characters. But the argument against that, according to Japanese Wikipedia, is that the moe in her name is a different kanji than the moe that is used, the kanji of the character. See, the one on the far left, that's like moe as we use it now. The one on the right, with the little dots underneath it, that one means it's like burning. So people surmise that people would use this for burning emotional feeling. The thing about Japanese computers is that when you type in, like, a word, it'll give you a list of kanji. So someone might have mistyped or purposefully, you know, used the wrong character. Sort of like the way that people use T-E-H instead of T-H-E. I mean, it's one of those sort of little things that people do, like, centricity with the internet, I guess. That's sort of the most compelling theory, I guess, about where the word comes from. Even though people say, you know, it started late 1980s, early 1990s with the advent of computers and people using the internet in Japan, there have been feelings of moe towards beautiful female characters and beautiful male characters in Japan since the 1970s when we really started to see them in anime and manga. For example, you have Fujiko down there, figure of her, from Lupin the Third, who is a very, very popular character and well-loved even today, many years after her creation. There's a distinction to be made between moe and moe anime. Moe is like the feeling, and moe anime is anime that is created in order to produce that feeling, specifically. Now, you might find moe in anime that are not moe anime, such as, you know, shoujo series like the one up in the upper left, Cosmic Baton Girl Comet-san. But that was just a shoujo series for little girls. There was no real intention of trying to get, trying to drag in male viewers and get them to buy like the little figurines. I mean, it's all the toy market. It's always about the toy market. And yeah, but you know, then there's anime that's specifically made with an audience that likes moe in mind, such as The Melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya. Has anyone seen that? Yeah, no, you know where it's at. I love that show. And then, nowadays, they started getting these shoujo moe hybrids, where they'll make a series that, like, is okay for youngsters to watch, but where, you know, they're clearly thinking of the older male audience, such as Otoki Jushi Akatsukin. Does anyone know that? It's coming out recently. Okay, well, I haven't seen that either. So, there are a lot of different kinds of moe anime. You know, harem anime is probably the most well-known. And then, of course, you've got, like, the girls with guns things, like in Gunslinger Girl. I don't know if noir really counts. Noir is kind of on, like, the edge. Someone probably felt moe for noir. Girls with mecha, like Sakura Wars, they had these giant, ugly mecha. The girls were cute, so, I guess those. And then there's, you know, the Magical Girl series. I'm pretty sure of them, which is technically shoujo, but, like, it's just so kind of taken over by the male fandom in Japan. I don't even know if little girls watch it. It's hard to tell. I mean, I watched it. It was okay. Their outfits were cute. You've got a lot of parody series like Ninja Nonsense, as it's known in America. That one's pretty funny. Azumanga Daioh, people may be familiar with that one. There's a lot of good stuff out there, the Galaxy Angel. Oh, yeah, and then there's all sorts of other different crazy stuff. Like, they have one out now called Bimbo Shimai Monogatari, the Poor Sister Story. It's about two adorable little moe sisters living poorly together in a poor apartment with no money. And, like, appreciating the love they have. And it's really cute, and there's nothing remotely sexual about it at all, but I'm sure that someone makes it be that way in their mind. So the fundamental aspect of moe is a moe character, or moe kera, as they would say in Japan. And I would say the most popular one would be the imoto, the little sister. And they don't actually have to be your little sister to be like a little sister type of character. Like Shinobu from Love Hina, or that girl from Air, the one who wants to fly. I don't know. Anyway, I forget their name. I watched a lot of moe. They all kind of blended together. Sort of like a horrible nightmare with big eyes. Then the little sister's appeal is that she's sweet and innocent, and she looks up to you for protection, so it gives you the feeling of being a bigger brother. And you're like, oh, I mean, I guess if you're a girl, it gives you the feeling of being a bigger sister, or maybe a maternal feeling. Sometimes they're really the little sister, and sometimes they get into relationships with the older brother. But Japan has a long, 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 long history of depicting semi-incestuous relationships in their culture, going back all the way to the tale of Genji, in which Genji felt a strong feeling of, I would say even moe, towards women who look like his mom. Anyway. The childhood friend, Yosana Nanjimi, is also like a very basic moe character, very fundamental, important type. And I'm not quite sure what the appeal is in Japan. Perhaps, as you get older, if you've been growing up with someone, you have all these shared experiences, and there's a friendship basis for the relationship, and, maybe that's the appeal. But you see them a lot in moe anime. Yes.
I've also heard that in that childhood context, oftentimes they're one of the only people that the person can refer to without a
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, there's a level of intimacy, which is implied by the lack of referring with any titles, or using chan. Like, they might call the boy something chan, which you really don't usually do in Japan. I mean, you don't call boys over the age of, like, 10, title chan. That's, like, taking away his manliness. How dare you? But, yeah, the tenzen boke, I wasn't quite sure how to translate this, but did this or the airhead. Osaka is a prime example. She's sort of like, I think she really has this, penultimate moe feeling to her. Because there's just something so amazingly, it's like a platonic ideal of the completely spaced out character. She manages to capture its essence in a very special way. And I recommend, for those of you who haven't seen Azumanga Daioh, you really should watch it just for this character, if nothing else. Yes, the Ojo-sama, or the young lady. She's often kind of I don't want to use the B word, but it rhymes with witch. I mean, there are young people in the audience, but yes. I mean, she kind of pushes people around a little. She's very bossy, and she's very refined. She's very rich. The Ojo-sama actually has a character that she's kind of based on, like all the Ojo-sama who came after, is Yuzaki Reika from Aim for the Ace, which is a very, very popular series in the 1970s. Some people say it was the start of Yuri. So, which is girl love. So, just throwing that out there. And then another series, on a similar note, Cardcaptor Sakura, you see Tomoyo, who is, usually the Ojo-sama has these long, flowing blonde curls and these huge, the banana curl thing. But Tomoyo represents a different kind of Ojo-sama, the sort of more Japanese, I guess, I don't know, wafu, Japanese taste. Anyway, they usually have like the long black hair with, it's called a hime cut, or a princess cut, the hair cut, where you have like the straight bangs and then they sort of layer here and they're very long. It's like a Han princess's kind of haircut. Next. Then there's the mysterious type of character. I think that this actually came from Rei Ayanami, who I sort of have this theory that she may in some way be related to sort of the fandom for Ami-chan from Sailor Moon, but that's sort of, out there. I could explain it if you want, but not at the moment. Yeah, so examples would be like Hinata from Amai Naideo, who's this very quiet little girl with mysterious powers, and she barely ever talks, and then she always makes these sort of weird jokes, Or the one with the glasses is always reading from Haruhi. I watched a while ago, I don't remember their name. Yuki? Was it Yuki? Okay, yeah. What was her last name? Was it Nagato? Oh, okay. Nagato Yuki. Thank you. So you people are up on this. I'm impressed. The Meganeko, I really can't explain this moment. Like, I really, really can't explain this moment. But for some reason, it's huge. People love girls with glasses. At least the otaku love girls with glasses. Which is great for me, because I got glasses. When I go to Japan, you know, I'm pulling in all the men. Not really. I mean, I don't know if I want to pull in the otaku. No offense to them, you know, we can be friends, but... also dolls, robots, aliens, very, very popular. They love characters who are man-made. Having a character who is man-made is like, it's like the hottest thing ever. It's so moe. I'm not sure why, once again. Yeah, I have to like go and do some field work in Japan, you know, live amongst the otaku. Yeah, but like, if you think about Rei Ayanami, like, she's really quiet, and she's man-made. And that's really hot, apparently.
Women are really strong.
I should shut up. I'm messing with the boy here. Another important thing is tsundere. Tsun, dere, you know, the love, hate, hot, cold. Love Hina, Nanisagawa Naru, very good example. Akane from Rondo 1/2, another good example. It's all over moe. You see the girl who wants to, for example, in Kimigano's Only Again, she's smacking him. And then, of course, they end up in a relationship. So, you know. But what I found really funny is I went on Amazon and I was looking up things and I found this collection of Tsundere Grimm fairy tales. And on the side it says that it was actually Grimm fairy tales are supposed to be Tsundere. So I'm like, well, I don't know about that, but you can see she's probably going to beat up the big bad wolf. She looks quite angry. Yeah, cat girls, fox girls, puppy girls, rabbit girls. Yeah, you know, yes, you're representing with the hat. Thank you, sir. I wish I had some cat ears tonight, and you know, so maybe some robot parts, then I could be like the ultimate boy. But yeah, I really like Ichiko personally. Like, she's my boy. I think, like, not just in a remotely sexual way, but just, like, it's so small. Look at it. It's got the big eyes, and the tiny hand, and the little paw feet. Look at it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The vampire series is Comatose Girl.
Comatose?
The Comatose Girl is the one on the right, but she's not comatose yet. She will be soon. And there's from Moonface, the little vampire, and Cat Girl. Yes, Husky. Or Luna. Or just Husky, I guess, after the first two episodes. And then, of course, this Gaia. And I'm actually going to show you the opening to Moonface, because I think it really captures Moe on the internet today. But yeah, these are actually sort of latecomers. Horror and Moe, for a really long time, were really set against each other. Like, there was no possible way you could make horror and Moe work together. It was like anathema. And then someone made a series, and then, of course, everyone followed along, and then, you know, vampires were hot. But adorable. Moe are cute. They can, like, if you can make it cute, it's Moe. I think, like, adorableness is sort of a key factor. Yes, and of course, the maid. I feel like I'm a bit. My maid outfit is actually not complete.
I think
we're
being
the
best. Mahono, what?
Yes! Mahono is my favorite maid. You can see the maids. You can see them all over Akihabara and various other places in Japan. Actually, I have a funny maid story, which I'm going to tell you right now, because I feel like it. I went to Japan, I went to this maid cafe, which was over a modern gun shop, because they don't have real guns in Japan. And the maids were medics. They were angels who sent on the battlefield to kill your wounds. They wore navy, army print. Like, instead of the black maid dress, they had the army print thing. And they had, like, a little Red Cross headband. And there were guns at the tables, and when you wanted to order, you would take one of the model guns and you would fire it, and they would come over to you. And it was kind of surreal. But they also had this special thing, like, if you wanted to take a photo with the man, you couldn't, like, take photos. I guess because they're worried about stalkers. But you could get your photo taken with the maid in the store and display it in the store if you could finish off this really huge smoothie that they had called the Big Goody Smoothie, or the, you know, surprising smoothie. And so I said, you know what, I'm getting a picture with the maid. So I ordered a smoothie. I'm like, I can do this. And they're like, okay, if you're a girl, you have 7 minutes to drink it. If you're a guy, you have 3 minutes to drink it. And I'm like, what is with this, you know, gender difference? And then I figured it out. See, if you're a guy, you can chug it. And it's cool. But if you're a girl, you have to use this tiny little ass spoon that they gave you. Because if you think about it, like, I'm in front of the maid, they called me Odorza, I have to act the part. Like, I can't act undignified in front of the maid. What would she think? I'll lose her respect? You know, I mean, I couldn't, I had to take the tiny spoon out. And, you know, my insides froze up, and I got the ice cream headache, and it was a painful experience, but, you know, at the end, it was ear day, so everyone was wearing ears, and they put, when I finished in 6 minutes, they put the ears on my head, and took a picture with me, and they were very excited, like, oh, a foreigner, you know, I don't know, I think I was only the only foreign girl on that wall. So, you know, there's my pride. If you ever go to Kyoto, if you ever go to that gun shop on Sedamachi Street, you might be able to see a picture of me with a maid if you go to the second floor. Moe toys, as I said, toy industry, but it runs the whole pornography laws for all I know. But yeah, so the statuettes and the figurines, and they have all, I mean, you see, they have the pillows, and I think they actually call them white pillows, because you sleep with them. I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, they're called hug pillows, but I think they, like, slang-wise, they're referred to as your wife. Which is, I mean, I have one of Lee from Cardcaptor Sakura, so I can't say anything. Like, it's really cute. On one side, he's like, hey, what?
Where did you get a guy one?
Oh, I went to, anime in Japan, and they're not available anymore. Sorry. But check Yahoo Japan options, you never know what you'll find. But he's very cute, it's like the actual Lee side, and on one side it's like in his school uniform, and the other, he's just there sitting in his jeans and in his pajamas, and he has his eyes open, so cute. So there's a lot of different kinds of characters that you can get. And I've actually been studying Moe this year, because I decided I would, since I had no idea what it was really about, and I wanted to, you know, figure it out. So I started watching a lot of Moe, and I started to realize something, especially with Harem series, since I watched more. Is that, you know, I thought originally, like, okay, a guy with a bunch of women is going to be about, like, him, you know, wanting to get lucky, right? But no, it's actually really about the family, and about creating these sort of family relationships with these familial situations. But in a Harem series, the guy ends up living in a house with, you know, a bunch of different women, and often they're kind of posited in relation to him as family members. Like, there's the mother type, there's the older sister type, the younger sister type. So, you know, he has these strong bonds with them, and usually he only has, like, a romantic relationship with two characters, so there's, like, a love triangle set up, but the other characters, you know, they might see him as an older brother, or, you know, a younger brother, or someone to do the dishes, or, you know, what have you. But the impression you get more is less, you know, a sexual feeling than, you know, a desire to kind of be wrapped up in this, you know, warm, feminine, loving relationship circle. Or, you know, if you look at series that are aimed at girls like Fruits Basket, she's sort of more the mother in that case, and they're kind of like her little adorable children who have serious mental problems. That's Angel's Tale. It's actually one of these series that really confused me at first, because it's about a boy who he's really down his luck, but he used to take care of animals when he was a kid. And the animal goddess, who rules over the maid world, decides that since he was so nice to animals, she'll send down all the dead pets that he took care of when he was young. I mean, they die, you know, because pets die. When they get older. But all the dead pets, she sends them down as maids to live with him and take care of him. There are, I think, 12 of them. And it's really kind of ridiculous because they kind of develop maybe 4 or 5 of them, and they kind of can't get... I mean, you only have 13 episodes. There's only so much you can do. And there's a second series, but they kind of focus on different characters in that one. But Angel's Tale? Tenshi no Shippo? It's been released in America as Angel's Tale. Like, tail is, you know, because they're all animals. Like, there's a squirrel. No, wait, no squirrel. There's a tanuki, a fox, a bird, a fish, a monkey, a parakeet. Wait, no, parakeet is a bird. A turtle. Well, he never actually, I don't know if he actually took care of the monkey or saw the monkey one time and the monkey died. Remember? Like, the snake was, like, at a temple. He would, like, go and say hi occasionally or something. Yeah, I mean, the concept seemed really weird at first, and then I kind of figured it out, because in the second series, they actually have a picture, the opening sequence, to show a photograph of them. And then there's a book called the Tsuru no Ongaeshi, which is the crane returns the favor, which is an old Japanese tale about this guy finding a crane that was injured and takes care of it, and the crane comes back and actually makes clothes for him, which he can sell for a lot of money out of his feathers, but tells him, oh, you can't look and into the room when I'm leaving. And then, of course, he does, and he finds out, oh my god, it's really a crane, not a woman, and then she flies away. And they actually kind of incorporate the tale into it a little bit in the second series, but there's actually a long tradition of especially foxes, but also other birds and other animals coming back and, you know, returning favors, or returning home, as they sort of a Japanese concept of Japanese concept that's like a duty that you have towards someone who saved your life or performed another similar service. So you kind of owe them a debt that you can never ever repay. So these animals feel that they have this debt that they can never repay, so they're coming back to take care of it. Yeah, that's another thing that I wanted to say. That concept of mikate and Shintoism as they relate to moe. Mikate is a sort of double vision where it's like if you look, the sort of classical example is you look out and you see the snow on the cherry blossom, on the cherry tree, and you say, is that the snow or the blossoms I see on the cherry tree? And it's this sort of double vision that you have where, you know that it's winter, you know the cherry blossoms can't possibly be blooming, but you see the snow on the branches, and for a moment it looks like cherry blossoms, and you're like, ah, I'm transported back to spring. When, the way that it relates to these characters, sort of confusing connection, is that these characters sort of, they're not real. They're very clearly not real. I mean, they're, you know, they're a figurine, or they're, you know, like on the screen or whatever. But there is something that they represent, is sort of the thing that you're really attracted to. It's not necessarily so much the character itself, but that ideal of a younger sister, or the ideal of, you know, an airhead or whatever. And that's what you really have that feeling towards, but at the same time, it's taking the form of that character, so there's a sort of doubling going on where what you think is beautiful is both that character, but also the concept behind the character. So it's just like, you know, you look at the snow and you think, oh, how beautiful that it looks like cherry blossoms. But you also, you know, you love it because you love the cherry blossoms. And it's kind of a confusing explanation for it, but I'm writing a paper on this, I kind of have to sort it out a bit better in my head. So, when people talk about moe in the Japanese context, it's always like, you know, moe is no taco thing, no taco are all men, and moe is really just a guy thing. And it kind of ignores the fact that women use this term, women are represented in anime, such as takahori, gedo, or tabuge, as feeling moe and express their feelings of moe very vocally in sort of visual terms. I would explain it, but it would be inappropriate for the children. You know, you've got like series like Fruits Basket, which we'll meet you over there, and, you know, Gravitation, and, you know, I think that yaoi and moe kind of overlap for girls. So there's character moe, and then there's also couple moe. There's two different, many different kinds of moe. One of the other kinds of moe that you can have in Japan is moe for a certain couple, who I guess represent a certain ideal relationship. So if you think about it that way, girls tend to idealize certain couples, you know, like their couple, like duo and hero. in that order, always, only. You know, I would argue that it can be seen in a similar light.
There's such a thing as food noise.
Well, there's definitely anpan man moi, like without question. Although usually when people make doujinshi of anpan man, they make the characters a little bit more attractive, like shonen looking. They're a little disturbing in a way to think about it because it's like a children's series about bread people. I kind of like the irony of it. I can even feel moe towards food. Like, if I see a particularly beautiful dessert, or a particularly nice bouillabaisse or whatever, I might feel some moe. I might be like,
baker.
What? Certainly in Japan, I feel moe towards food because it's presented so aesthetically.
Parfait. She likes parfait.
Parfait. I think I have parfait moe. I really do.
Nadia, what's your moe right now?
This is what I was asked when I first talked to the vendor in Japan. We were all sitting around, we introduced ourselves, and then, you know, we talked about what our favorite series was, and then, so, what's your moe?
My moe.
So I quickly answered that schoolboy uniform for my moe of the moment. Although it was more like last year's moe at the time. That's moe
from
last.
Yeah.
Hey, you're an American fan.
Yeah, I can have last year's moe. I'm a year behind. Yeah, what's this year's moe?
That's okay, Japan still takes hair in the 80s.
I think my moe right now is Dahl. I think my moe right now actually is him. He's my moe. I named him after the baseball player. Because I got him around the same time our team got put. So it was like they were fated together. I really hope that, you know, Claire does well. Anyway, yeah. Omelette over rice with ketchup mixed in.
Drenched
and I know it may sound a little weird to an American who thinks rice, egg, ketchup, those don't go together. They do. They belong, it's like a perfect marriage. A polygamous marriage, but still a perfect marriage. And in Japan, they have ones with white sauce, they have ones with like hayashi sauce, and they're all delicious sauces that they put on them, and sometimes they put cheese on them, and it's all good.
This is the omelet rice restaurant.
Sometimes instead of, sometimes in addition. Sometimes it'll be like half and half, it'll be like a white bread. Omurice. There are stores that specialize only in omurice. That's where you have to go to get like the best one. Any other questions? Comments? Criticisms? Is my hat okay?
Not really enough.
Yeah.
Not more enough?
No.
I mean, I feel like sort of like a panya, a baker wearing this hat. Like, I could work in a Japanese bakery with this hat.
Oh, yeah.
I could make curry bread. Mm. I mean, if I was a Japanese baker, I can't actually. Yeah. Has anyone seen Yakitaka Japan? You actually
had
a question. Sorry.
Ryooki.
Ryooki could definitely be moe. I think also Sasami. I mean, Tenchimoyo, if you think about like the roots of the modern moe series, play Tenchimoyo, Oh My Goddess, Long, those classics. It's like the romantic comedies of the 1980s, early 90s. That's where I think, you know, kind of how you start to get into the television. Because you kind of had moe and OVAs for a while, and then it moved onto television around 99, 2000. Late night television. you know, so that the salaryman or the otaku never sleeps can watch it after they come home, or in case of the otaku, they're always at home, they're always in their room, they never leave. The mom brings them a tray of food, called hikikomori, is a very big social problem in Japan. No, it's not funny. No, it's funny. What?
No, no social comment of video.
Yeah.
Or welcome to NHK.
Well,
NHK New York.
Where the American audience tends to use the word otaku compared to how it's used in Japan, where it's the Muslim that learns the blood and the blood of does moe get applied in the same way towards other things other than the entertainment film in Japan? Or is it more strictly applied in those reasons?
Well, see, it's funny because originally, you know, there are purists who say that moe should be used in this way that was originally used and really shouldn't be used in any other way. But of course, no one actually follows that. And you have people who refer to stalkers as people who are feeling moe towards the girls they're stalking. And, you know, I mean, that's, some people be like, not so much. You have people who, you know, they'll talk about moe towards things that are, you know, like, it's kind of been picked up in the mass media, and now it's like everyone is using the word moe. So it's kind of losing its meaning slowly but surely, and eventually it will probably just, like, I don't know. I'm not quite sure what it will mean.
And then, of course, there are no emulating the show in order to achieve the thing as well.
Girls in English.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with that. I'm certainly not doing that myself. I mean, you know. You know, that's the whole thing with cosplay and girls who dress up as maids in particular, people have a lot of, you know, opinions on that and, you know, what these girls are trying to achieve, what they're thinking. Usually those opinions are formed without ever actually talking to the people themselves. So I don't want to express an opinion because I haven't gone and talked to anyone. But I imagine that there are a lot of different reasons. I think that the reason that I've heard secondhand most often is, well, it's cute. And, you know, you want to surround yourself with cute things so you can be cute. You know, I like cute things. I have a cute backpack. It's on the floor. No! It's on the floor. See? I surround myself with cute things. But in Japan, it's a little different because, cute tends to, like, attract men. Like, I don't know if anyone has seen Nanaka 617, but the girls in the school all complain, like, oh, she's acting like a... See, this girl falls over and she hits her head, she's 17 years old, and she reverts back to the mentality of a six-year-old. And so she's in high school, and she's going around, like, going like, ah, I'm alive, and being very cute and very stupid. And the other girls are like, oh, she's trying to attract men with that act. Which, I guess, you know, in Japan...
She's six years old.
Yeah, she's brain disorder and thinks she's 6 years old. And that's like the epitome of pot. Because, you know, cuteness is like the feminine ideal. So, it's kind of, I mean, it's a little hard for me to quite understand culturally, because I come from a culture where cuteness is like the opposite of sexual, usually. So, I mean, it deserves, I think, more study than it's gotten so far, but maybe in the future, if I can, you know, go live there, talk to people, that's how you gotta do it. You have to, you know, not blend in necessarily, but at least dialogue.
Become a cultural anthropologist.
Or an interview, I guess is a better term, but yeah. Cricket? Oh, okay, yes. Yeah.
Is there slave boy? Could be an anime with a slave in it. Except for
well, when you say slave, what exactly are we?
He means hard labor.
Yeah, in anime, the only thing I can think of that would be close to that would be Amai and Ideo, where they kind of treat the main character like a slave. They sort of are ordering him around all the time and being like, okay, cook for us, you didn't do a good job, let's beat you up. Get us some towels. Oh, you walked into the bathroom while we were naked, let's beat you up. You know, and so on. Usually it ends up him getting beaten up. and be forced to perform manual labor. But once again, the slave in that case would be the male character, not the female characters who are the moi targets, I guess. So.
What about who is my master?
He's my master is, I think, a parody made of moi, but I haven't seen enough of it. But, you know, that's definite, like, without question. Yes.
So still, there's a lot of martial arts that's supposed to have been developed by the legend. Some of the martial arts of pilots that were developed in the martial arts.
Martial arts developed by Flay.
Oh, Shadow Skill. I haven't seen
Shadow Skill.
Oh, wait here.
He's a master as well.
Yeah, I mean, I've only seen the opening, and I'm like, yeah, it's pretty damn moe. Yeah. Do you feel that moe exists? There's a lot of people who argue that moe can't exist in three dimensions. Do you think that the word is that's come from? Crazy people? I don't know. I've seen some 3D that I thought was moi. No, I know what you mean. In real life, can moi exist? I mean, there are arguments about that. Some people say that it
is. Explain the argument.
No, I don't know what the argument is. I need to go and do some fieldwork. Ethnographies. Oh, 5 minutes. Okay, yes. Ooh, that's true. And also, they use moi That's how it's helpful. But are they referring to real people, or are they referring to characters?
Well, like with the girl, she compares to all the people.
Akibara made characters.
Yeah, but see, the thing is, when you're dealing with the TV drama series, they often tend to, because they're marketed at a different audience, they tend to be marketed at a mass audience, so often when they deal with those type of concepts, they get them kind of weird, like in Densetsu Otoko. I was like, well, yes, but you know, I mean, they're heading in the right direction, but you know, sometimes the train's a little bit off the track, and that can, of course, result in an explosion. But once again, it has to do with also with the way the term is being used. I think the traditionalists, the purists, would say, you know, it's got to be, you know, the two dimensional or you know, the unreal. And other people who are, you know, picking it up from the mass media might start using it in a different way. So,
how do women in Japan feel about how women are portrayed now?
There are a lot of different opinions on it. Some of them think, you know, like, well, why not? It's cute. And I think a lot of them, it depends on, you know, which anime you're talking about also. But some of them don't like the maid thing. Some of them will actually go to, like, comic conventions and will cosplay and will... You have, like, the doujinshi tables where the men are selling their, like, extremely pornographic bikini sometimes. And they'll actually get girls, maybe from their comic club at school, who will dress up as maid outfits and, you know, pull in some pants. So, but there are a lot of, you know, there are a lot of feminists who find a lot of problems with it. I mean, I've met some and I've talked to them. And there are men who have a problem with it, too. I think anime is a bit more problematic. Manga has, I think, a wider range of depictions, because there's so much more of it. So it's really hard to say, overall what Japanese women think of the depictions in anime. Like, you really have to look into the specifics. And no one's really done the research necessary to, academia in anime in America is really in its infancy right now. They really need a lot of good people to go and work there, and a lot of people to go to Japan, really, and talk to the fans, because, I mean, you have a lot of books where people talk about, like, you know, they analyze anime from their own perspective, but you're not really seeing what people in Japan are thinking, so, yes.
Is Maho Sensei Nigima Moe? She has a feminist friend who is kind of against it.
Tsundere, yeah.
Tsundere.
Yeah, no, don't worry, I don't mind. Sorry, gotta go, but to answer your question very quickly, I would say that the way, whether a series is feminist or not, like, you could actually argue for almost anything from both perspectives, but it's really, like, up to what you take away from the series yourself, and how you interpret it, or how any individual interprets it, because you can look at a series and, you know, sort of say, like, oh, I'm not girly enough. I'm not naked enough. I don't like my image now. Or you can look at, you know, the stronger aspects of the character and say, well, you know, I'd like to emulate some of that. And, you know, so it really depends on how you look at it.